Hi, I'm Alex Howard, and welcome to this session, where we're going to be exploring five steps to reset your nervous system. We're going to explore why your nervous system is at the heart of everything, and why sequencing intervention is so important. Within this conference, we're talking to many, many different experts, looking at the impact of stress on your nervous system and your nervous system on everything in your life. But how do you then decide how to put together your action plan? We're going to talk about that. We'll explore why self-awareness is so powerful. The more that we can recognize and understand what's happening in our nervous system, how and why it's happening, the more we're empowered then to change it. And then we'll talk about this five-step plan to reset your nervous system. We'll talk about the reset framework and how to pull all of this together. Just to give you a little bit of background on why you should listen to me. So my personal interest in nervous system health was catalyzed by suffering from a severe chronic illness as a teenager. So for around 7 years from the age of 16, I suffered from ME, otherwise known as chronic fatigue syndrome. And that was a incredibly difficult and lonely and challenging journey. This was in the mid-1990s, so it was before mass use of the internet and access to resources like this. Had to actually go to libraries and take out books, and there weren't many books available to really understand and piece all of this together. But along that journey, I made a commitment that if I found a way to get back my health, and I should say for the first couple of years, I was almost housebound, at times bedbound, severe pain, dizziness, complete debilitating fatigue, and then in time, anxiety and depression as a result of all of these symptoms. But I made a commitment that if I found a way out, I would dedicate my life to helping others in similar situations. And so nearly 20 years ago now, I set up the Optum Health Clinic. The Optum Health Clinic is now one of the world's leading integrative medicine clinics, specializing in complex chronic illnesses, fatigue, anxiety, sleep, also trauma, nervous system health. We have a team of over 20 full-time practitioners, both working in a mind-body healing-focused psychology department using the therapeutic coaching methodology, and then functional medicine trained nutritional therapists working on the physical side. And we have a very successful integrative framework working with well over 1,000 patients at any one time. And so my experience in this area is not just theoretical, it is very much based upon the real world clinical experience working with large numbers of people. I'm also the creator of the therapeutic coaching methodology, and this is really a framework that integrates the best of more traditional psychotherapeutic approaches with more innovative coaching-based approaches, where we're really looking at having tools and strategies to create lasting change, but with a real understanding of how things have been shaped and impacted in the first place. I'm also the founder and CEO of Conscious Life, the platform within which you're watching this conference. We've had over 1 million people go through our online conferences in recent years, and we've created programs and interviewed pretty much everyone who's an expert in these areas, hundreds of different experts as part of the platform. I'm also creator of the Reset Program, and this session is going to pull some of the key elements from that program to share them with you. The Reset Program is a 12-week online coaching program specifically designed to help you reset your nervous system. And so this five-step journey is the five steps of reset, and we'll come to that a little bit later in this session. And we've had I think around 6,000 people have gone through the Reset program in recent years. And I think it's, I'm guessing, pretty much the best-selling program out there on, and the most successful program on, how to learn to reset your nervous system. So why is your nervous system so important? You signed up for this conference, I'm guessing because you have some interest in this subject. But the point I want to make here is your nervous system is at the heart of many different challenges and struggles that you may be having in your life. Often the things that we think we need to fix are symptoms of underlying issues. And often that underlying thing is nervous system dysregulation. So we've produced online conferences. We've done two conferences on fatigue. We've done three on trauma. We've done relationships. We've done sleep. We've done anxiety. And within this conference, you have access to some of the best interviews across those different areas. But all of those different areas, the thing that connects them together is our nervous system. When our nervous system becomes dysregulated, we will feel anxious. When our nervous system becomes dysregulated, we will often have issues with sleep. We are more likely to have fatigue. And in my work with complex chronic illnesses and particularly fatigue-related conditions, one of the biggest blocks to healing is a dysregulated nervous system. To have healthy and connected relationships, we need to be able to be present and connected in the moment, not in a state of defense or shutdown because our nervous system is dysregulated. And so our nervous system is at the heart of many of the symptoms and struggles that we can experience in our lives. But also our nervous system being dysregulated will impact our capacity to heal. For both our physical body and our emotional body to heal, we have to be in a healing state. The direct response of being overloaded, for example, suffering from a severe complex chronic illness and not knowing what's wrong, why it's wrong, will we ever recover, should we rest, should we push through, should we do this treatment, that treatment, that experience alone dysregulates our nervous system. Or experiencing childhood trauma or difficult experiences in childhood, and we don't know how to respond, and so our system speeds up to protect us. But the challenge is that when we have a dysregulated nervous system, we are in exactly the opposite state to what our body needs to be able to heal. Our physical body, i.e. complex chronic illnesses, digestive issues, headaches, back pain, but also our emotional body, things like anxiety, trauma, depression, these kinds of issues, we have a natural capacity towards healing, but that is blocked when our nervous system is dysregulated. Thus my quote, for us to heal, we have to be in a healing state. And I think to understand this a little bit more, we need to make a distinction between two different types of stress and what do we actually mean when we're talking about nervous system dysregulation. So our nervous system is designed to respond to acute stress. This is where something suddenly happens, it's a short-term threat, and we either survive or we don't survive. And if we don't survive, I mean, it's not great, but it's not an issue, therefore, to our ongoing nervous system. And so back in caveman days, this may be that you and I are walking down the street and we didn't see the path, I should say. They weren't streets. And we didn't see the great saber-toothed tiger which is hunting us. And then we see it and we get a massive hit of adrenaline and cortisol, and all of our blood flows to our arms and our legs and away from our digestion. Our mind starts to race so we can respond. We'll talk more about that response in a little bit. So in that moment, we're either going to get eaten by the saber-toothed tiger, or maybe we're going to run away, or we're going to freeze and hope it doesn't see us, or we're going to fight it. But whatever happens, the threat is in time going to pass. And so our nervous system can then return back to a calm, relaxed, healing state. What that might look like in today's world is you and I walking down the street. Now we have streets. And we don't see the great big, we're walking down the street in London, the big electric red London bus. We don't hear it because it's electric. And suddenly it's thundering towards us, quietly thundering towards us. And we leap towards the sidewalk or the pavement to get away. And again, that same hit of adrenaline, cortisol to respond. Another example might be that we suddenly hear we've got an important presentation at work and it's in an hour's time. We've got to pull everything together and get everything ready for it. And we go into this stress response to empower us to have the resources to deal with the threat. These are examples of acute stress. Chronic stress is very different. Chronic stress is where the trigger of that stress is ongoing. Now, it may be a perceived threat, like the way we're framing it in our mind makes it a threat, or it may be an actual threat or danger. There's actually not much difference there. Our unconscious doesn't determine between something that's vividly imagined and something that's real. This is why you can have a really bad dream and wake up and feel like, you know, you don't feel like your heart is racing and you're sweating because it felt real to your nervous system. So with chronic stress, the stress continues. It's like the saber-toothed tiger keeps hunting us, or the big red London bus follows us everywhere we go. But real-life examples of this might be that we learnt in childhood that the world wasn't a safe place. And so our nervous system needs to stay constantly activated to help us to feel safe. Or maybe we learn that we're only lovable when we are constantly placing other people's needs before our own. And so our nervous system lives constantly on edge, checking that everyone else is happy and that we're doing all the things we need to do to make sure that we're placing everyone else's needs as more important. Or going back to my example, suffering from a severe chronic illness, what's wrong? Why is it wrong? Will I recover? Should I push through? Medically unexplained illnesses particularly can be a real trigger to this stress response. And so about 20 years ago, I started to talk about this as a maladaptive stress response. It's a healthy stress response that's become maladaptive. We've become normalized to being in an ongoing state of dysregulation, a response that was necessary to help us survive in one situation is now becoming the problem in of itself in our ongoing life. Now, sometimes if we're living in a war zone, the actual external threat is real, but often it's a perceived threat. It's what we've learned in terms of our mind and our nervous system, which then perpetuates this cycle. The challenge here is often we continually normalize to the state that we are in, so we don't realize we're getting more and more maladaptive in our nervous system. There's a famous story, which I don't know if it's true or not, and it's not something I've ever tried to replicate, but you take a frog and you drop it in a glass of cold water, a boiling water, and it jumps straight out. Put it in cold water and you gradually heat the water, it will stay in there and it get cooked because it keeps normalizing to the increase in temperature. So it doesn't notice that things have become too hot. Same is true in our nervous system, that we gradually normalize to being in a maladaptive stress response. And then this maladaptive stress response starts to impact everything in our lives. It could be driving fatigue, anxiety, depression, sleep issues. But ultimately, to go back to the point I was making a few minutes ago, it may be causing those things, but it is also blocking our natural capacity to heal from those things. It's like let's say you get a cut on your finger, and you keep it clean. And if it's a big cut, you might get the skin stitched together, or you may just get a plaster to stop it getting infected. And there's nothing that to be done to get your skin to heal. That is a natural capacity within your body. In fact, there's no drug that you can take that can make that healing happen. It's our natural capacity to heal. Same is true that if we have a healthy functioning nervous system, we can have a big emotional impact in our lives. And if we know how to metabolize and process our emotions and to allow them to move through us and not to build an unhelpful narrative in our mind, we can have impacts, and they don't have to traumatize us. They can flow through our system. But when our nervous system is dysregulated, that natural capacity to healing is inhibited, both physical healing, but also emotional healing. With physical healing, one of the things that we find with patients with complex chronic illnesses is that they're often unable to tolerate the very treatments that are going to help them. So they take supplements and they react to the supplements because their immune system sees everything as a threat and as a danger. That's the result of a maladaptive stress response. Everything is dangerous because the system's ramped up, and so it needs, therefore, to reject it. What we find is when we calm the nervous system, when we reset the nervous system, other interventions now become effective. The natural capacity that we have towards healing is then unlocked, and that healing can then happen. But also a lot of the symptoms that are triggered by a maladaptive stress response or a dysregulated nervous system then start to settle. And so I want to spend a little bit of time mapping together the different states of your nervous system. Now, there's different models to do this, and different models are helpful in different ways. One of the models that I think is helpful is Professor Stephen Porges's work on polyvagal theory. He's part of this conference. I've interviewed him a number of times over recent years. And Professor Porges is a professor of psychiatry at the University of North Carolina. And his polyvagal theory effectively serves to identify the relationship between visceral experiences and the vagus nerve's control of our heart, lungs, digestive tract. It's really the way that our internal world responds to what happens in the external environment. So to unpack this a little bit more, I want to say a few words about the vagus nerve and then about the different pathways of what can happen. So the vagus nerve, the term vagus comes from the Latin term for wandering. And this is because the vagus nerve wanders from the brain into the organs in the neck, chest, and abdomen. Effectively, the vagus nerve is how our brain connects to the rest of our body. What happens in our mind impacts our body, and what happens in our body and our nervous system impacts what happens in our mind. And there are two primary paths of our vagus nerve. There's the ventral vagal path. This responds to cues of safety and supports feelings of being safe, safely engaged, and socially connected. So this is the pathway that tells us that we are safe and the world around us is safe. There's then the dorsal vagal path. This responds to cues of extreme danger. It takes us out of connection, out of awareness, and into a protective collapse and shutdown. Before we come to that in a bit more detail, I also want to point out something really important. And I think this is one of the really powerful contributions of polyvagal theory. You see, often how we respond in our nervous system is not just a result of our thoughts. A lot of the world of kind of popular psychology is very fixated on change your thoughts, change your reality. But much of what happens in our experience is not we have a thought and then something happens. Something just happens. And neuroception is what explains this. Neuroception is detection without awareness. It's how our body responds to stress or danger before we have consciously noticed it. So here's some examples of this. Have you ever had the experience of changing environment, maybe walking into a certain room or a certain place, and you just feel your system starts to feel stressed? Now, it may be because you've got certain unconscious triggers. It may be that, for example, every time you walk into a doctor's practice, that you notice your heart starts to race. It wasn't that you thought, I'm going to a doctor's practice, therefore I should be afraid. It's that you walk in and something happens because there's some history there. Another example is working with people with ME, chronic fatigue syndrome. And they do what we call bouncing the boundaries, which is where you've learned what you can and what you can't do and what the edges of that are. And then as your energy starts to increase on the recovery path, you start to bounce those boundaries. And there can be a nervous system activation just at the process of doing that, because there's so many traumas and triggers from the past of pushing and doing too much and crashing that the nervous system is trying to protect us. Or just being around certain people that we just don't feel safe with, and then our nervous system activates. So this state of neuroception, the reason why it's so important is it is how our nervous system is responding to the environment, to certain threats, to certain triggers, outside of our conscious thinking and awareness. Now, we may become conscious of what then happens in our nervous system, but the point is you can't just change this by changing your thoughts, because we are being triggered by all of this knowledge and wisdom and learning, some of it not helpful learning, that's there in our nervous system. So to bring this to life a little bit more, let's talk about the three different levels of a maladaptive stress response within the framework of polyvagal theory. So briefly, the three levels are, and we'll come to them each in a bit more detail. There's that ventral vagal response of being in a calm, relaxed healing state, or as Professor Porges calls it, a state of safe and social. This is where we feel safe inside of ourselves and we feel socially connected and held and supported with the environment around us. If we believe there's threats, as we become triggered in our system, we start to become activated. This is where we go into a state of fight or flight. This is where our sympathetic nervous system starts to respond. And in this state, we're either going to fight the threat or we're going to flight. We're going to run as fast as we can to get away from it. But if it feels like fighting or flighting isn't going to work, there's a higher level of maladaptive stress response we can go to. This is that dorsal vagal response. We can freeze. Now, freezing does a few things. If there is a threat in the environment, we can freeze and hope it doesn't see us. This is like when you see animals in nature feigning death. They pretend that they've died and they're not a threat. And either they just don't get seen because they're not moving, or the aggressor doesn't do anything, because unless they're going to try and eat them, there's not much reason then to attack them. What this can look like in our physical bodies is a state of total exhaustion and sort of shutdown. Emotionally, what it looks like is just being numb. People ask us how we feel, and there isn't really a response because we don't really feel anything. And sometimes we might see that as I used to think I had a superpower, that I wasn't emotionally impacted by things. Unfortunately, what I then realized doing my trauma healing work was I was just numb, and that was a problem. And as we start to open all of that up, we start to realize that life is much more rich and much more alive when we're in a state of safe and social. But to go back to my point, we normalize to whatever state we get used to living in. So to break this down a little bit more, in safe and social, we seek connection. We send cues of safety and invitations to come into connection through the signals of our tone of voice, our facial expression, the sort of friendly, inviting tilt of our head. We also respond positively to the same in others. We sense where others are safe to approach and signal that we are friend, not foe, but we can also spot danger and then we can respond appropriately. When we're in safe and social, we just feel an ease in ourselves and we feel an ease in our contact and our relationships with other people. In fight or flight, we are primed for action. Our system's literally deciding whether to fight or to run. Our body pumps adrenaline and cortisol. And here's the interesting thing. In this state, we misread the cues of the environment. The research shows that neutral faces will appear angry. Neutral is experienced as dangerous. And so what happens is, through the process of neuroception, we are starting to respond to perceived threat in the environment that may not even be there. So it becomes a self-generating, like a self-perpetuating cycle of being in the stress response. And if we then go into a freeze response, it's like our reptilian brain is activated and our system goes into shutdown. We disassociate, we feel frozen and numb. And our energy levels can be reduced to almost death-like states. We can be completely void of any energy. There's an inhibition of the mobilization of cellular, mitochondrial, and other physiological levels. So our system conserves energy by suppressing states of fight and flight. Some fascinating research by Dr. Robert Navio on what he calls cell danger response. And our mitochondria, which are our cellular energy powerhouses, like the power stations that make energy in our cells, when we are under threat, they will deprioritize energy metabolism, the making of energy, to prioritize their second task of danger signaling, to spread the fact that there is danger and threat throughout our system. And so when we're in a maladaptive stress response, our system is prioritizing survival, understandably so, over manufacturing and making energy, which means if we spend too long in this state, we become consistently less resourceful and less able to meet the threats, the maybe real threats in our environment, but also to meet our life in a healthy and sustainable way. So to switch off the maladaptive stress response, we have to get our nervous system back to safe and social. We want to go from here, from the kind of shutdown tortoise, to the safe and social playful dogs, as it is in the photo. To help us do that, and we'll talk more about the reset framework for this in a moment, but to help us do that, we need to also grow some awareness of what's happening. Remember what I said earlier about the metaphor or the story of the frog? We normalize to the state we're in. To change what's happening, we have to firstly recognize what's happening. A phrase I use a lot, if you can see it, you don't have to be it. If you can recognize what's happening in your nervous system, that's then the first step to doing something to change it. So to help you do that, we're going to spend a few minutes on rating your nervous system. Like, where is your nervous system right now? And so 1 to 3 being a state of safe and social, being calm, relaxed, in that healing state. And as we become more activated, we go to that fight or flight state where we're either trying to run away or try to deal with the threat that's there. And as we become increasingly more activated, we actually start to become numb and start to shut down. And that's that freeze and shutdown state. Now, there's no perfect science of how to rate this. And of course, part of the challenge is that you've normalized to the way that things are. And so it takes some time to understand this. And I think through the interviews of this conference, you're going to learn a lot more about your nervous system and the different ways it can feel, the different ways that we can respond. But I'm curious if you just to rate your system now. Do you feel relaxed, calm, safe and social? Do you feel activated, like you're trying to sort of deal with a threat? Or do you just feel shut down and numb? And that'll help you give an idea of where to place yourself. You then might want to, over the coming 3 days, to rate your nervous system at some different points during the day. How is it when you wake up? How is it mid-morning? Lunchtime, then mid-afternoon, early evening before bed? And if you take some time to rate your nervous system for 3 days in a row at these different points, A, you're going to start to notice patterns. There may be certain points in the day that you're more activated or you're more in a state of safe and social. But also, where is, like, what's the baseline of where your nervous system is? If you can see it, you don't have to be it. Now, of course, then the question becomes, well, how do you get to not be it? So I want to say a few words about the relationship between our mind and our emotions. I think this is important to understand a bit more about how we get activated. And then we're going to come into these five steps of how you can learn to reset your nervous system. So there is a relationship that exists between your mind and your emotions. When our nervous system is dysregulated, one of the ways we may experience that, for example, is anxiety. We know, particularly in that fight or flight state, we notice our sort of mind go round and round. And we're trying to get to a state of safe and social. We're trying to get to a feeling of safety. And so we try to think our way to safety. We think, well, if this happens, I'll do that. And if that happens, I'm going to do that. And we play what I call mental tennis. We go back and forth in our mind. Or we do what I call snowball thinking, where we catastrophize, where we go from a small thought to a bigger thought to a bigger thought. So if I don't, that presentation I mentioned earlier that we're doing in an hour's time, if I don't do it right, I'm going to get the sack and then I won't be able to pay the mortgage and then my children won't have food and then I'm going to end up. And we go from one thing to catastrophizing to a much bigger thing. And we try to think our way out of it. So what happens is we feel unsafe inside of ourselves. Our mind speeds up to try to protect us. We then disconnect from our body. So we feel more unsafe, so our mind speeds up more. That state of safe and social, that not being in a maladaptive stress response, that calm, healing state that we're trying to get to, that is a felt sense in our body, not a place we're going to think our way to in our mind. And that's why, as part of this conference, I think you'll hear a lot, I know you'll hear people talk about the importance of the breath, the importance of working with the body, the importance of doing emotional healing work. But the question becomes, well, what's the sequence? And so what I'm going to talk to you about now is the reset model, the five steps to resetting your nervous system. This has come from working with well over 1,000 patients on my own. I mean, I must have done well over 10,000 clinical hours as a clinician. Thousands of people going through the Reset Program, programs at the Optimum Health Clinic, teaching hundreds of practitioners in therapeutic coaching. And one of my obsessions, I think is the word, is around not just what's effective intervention, but how do you effectively sequence intervention? So the first step of the let me talk you through the model briefly, then we'll go through each step. So the first step is to recognize. This is that if you can see it, you don't have to be it. We actually just did this first step, to recognize what state your system is in. You then want to examine, how is this state being created? And there's lots of discussion in the interviews in the conference around different triggers, different building blocks of the states that we're in. So we want to understand that. What's the impact of our history? What's the impact of our past? We then have to have ways of stopping. This is the S of reset. To stop those unhelpful thoughts and patterns and learn to rewire for neuroplasticity. We'll come to that in a second. To rewire our brain and our nervous system. As we've worked to break the habit of those patterns, that makes it easier to do our emotional healing work. And as we do our emotional healing work, we can then work on transforming our relationship to ourself and our life. So to break this down a bit more, we talked about the recognize and the examine the thoughts. A dysregulated nervous system is partly a learnt habit and pattern. There are thoughts, ways of thinking, ways of responding that have wired our brain. Neural plasticity is the science of how we train our brain to respond in certain ways. And by the way, we need to do this because if every time you got to a new door, like a literary physical door, you had to relearn doors, you wouldn't get anywhere in life. So we've learned to, when you get to a door, you use the handle and it's either a sliding door or a push and pull door and you might need a key. And you've learned that and it unlocks, of course, many, many things in your life. But if we've learned a certain pathway, which is the wrong or an unhelpful path, we have to learn to interrupt that pattern. In fact, at the point of recording this video, we've just been having some things done to our house. And so we've been in various, because it took a lot longer than it should have done, various rental accommodation. And all relatively near to where we our main home and to the office. But I found myself several times driving home the wrong way. In fact, one time I picked my daughter up and I was driving her back and she was like, my kids all call me Guggy. It's a long story. It's like, Gug, why are you driving to our house? We're not staying there at the moment. Because that's the habit. There are so many ways in our lives that we've learned to respond that are activating and triggering our nervous system. And we need to have ways of stopping and retraining those patterns. If you can see it, you don't have to be it. This is how you start being it, by retraining our minds. Part of this as well, and there's lots of sessions talking around things like breath work and mindfulness, and you've got guided meditations each day, and you've got yoga sessions each day, that we need to also train our mind to be more mindful, to be calmer. The challenge is most people struggle with mindfulness because they haven't been taught correctly and they have unreasonable expectations, and hopefully the very simple meditations as part of this will be useful. But if we can learn to calm our mind and to retrain our mind, and there's a process in the Reset program called the Stop Process that helps us do that, mindfulness will calm the mind. The stop process will then train our system to function differently. But to return to our reset model, we recognize what state we're in, we examine it, we then stop it. We retrain our mind, we use meditation techniques to also support ourselves being in a healing state. This then allows us to do our emotional healing work. And this is my point around sequencing. If we try to work with our emotions when our system is already very dysregulated, it's difficult to do that work because everything is all over the place. But also, if we don't do our emotional healing, you see, part of the reason why our system becomes dysregulated is it's a way of escaping from our feelings and emotions. And so if we don't do the emotional healing, each time we calm our system, we start to feel all these emotions and we speed up again. So we work to calm our mind and our nervous system, and then we have to work with the unprocessed emotions to be able to stay in that calm healing state. We all have many experiences. We have a whole conference around trauma. And in fact, if you buy the Conscious Life membership, you'll access 3 historical conferences on trauma. We all have unprocessed historical experiences, like a big black sack of all this stuff that we've shoved in here, that we've not processed in our lives, that are held in our physical and emotional body. And as I say, part of the dysregulated nervous system is trying to get away from all of that. So we then need to, as we calm things, we need to connect to process and heal our underlying emotions. And again, within this conference, there's a number of sessions talking about emotional healing, why it's important, what supports it. But once we calm the system, then the emotional healing is important. Finally, the T of reset is, as we've recognized, we've examined, we've stopped those patterns, we've done our emotional healing, it's now time to transform our relationship with ourselves. We all have 2 core issues: a lack of self-love and a lack of feeling safe. And for a long-term reset of our nervous system, we have to deal with these underlying issues. Going back to this sequencing, it's hard to deal with those issues when our nervous system is all over the place and we have all this emotional trauma from things that have happened, because that all gets in the way of transforming and cultivating this new relationship. When our system is calm and our emotions are healed, we can then meet ourselves in a new way. We can cultivate a new way of being with ourselves, and therefore a new way of being with all the people in our lives that we love and we care about. Your relationship with yourself affects everything. If you heal your trauma, if you reset your nervous system, and then you transform your relationship with yourself, your intimate relationship, your family relationships, your work relationships, all of those will transform as a result. If you really learn to reset your nervous system, literally your entire life can transform. Your relationships transform, your health transforms, your potential in life transforms, your emotions transform. And that's why I'm so passionate about the interviews within this conference. I'm super excited for you to come on this journey with us. Please do enjoy the other free gifts as part of the conference. And if you choose to buy the membership, you're going to unlock, I think it's at this point, 6 other conferences, 3 on trauma, 2 on fatigue, anxiety, relationship, sleep. This conference, really some of the highlight interviews from those conferences, but there's so much more, hundreds of interviews to go deeper with, plus the various online courses and programs that are already there on Conscious Life and that we keep on adding as we keep growing this amazing resource to support not just your learning, but also your inner transformation. So let me leave you with a final question. What is possible with a healthy nervous system? If you are successful in resetting your nervous system, what truly becomes possible for you in your life? I hope this has been helpful. Thank you so much for joining me, and I really hope you enjoy this conference.